Learn more at LifeLock.com.
And support for WMNF comes from our members and Goodwill, the annual book drive. For Goodwill's childhood literacy program, Bookworks, is now underway. Donations of children's books labeled for Bookworks will be accepted at any Goodwill store or location site now through March 15th. Goodwill will make sure they are given to children who may not otherwise have books of their own. More at goodwill-suncoast.org. And support for WMNF comes from our members in Live Nation, presenting Interpol at the Duke Energy Center for the Arts, Mahaffey Theater in St. Petersburg, on May 8th, 2019. Tickets are at themahaffey.com. Good afternoon. It's Monday, and you are listening to WMNF 88.5 FM. This is community radio from West Central Florida, and you have tuned to Executive Session, your forum for the discussion of your executive branch of your United States government. My name is John Gilmore, and I host the sessions every Monday through Thursday at this time. We are an open forum for discussion. We welcome all viewpoints. We require a civil conversation because basically we're using our radio station as the back fence of the nation, which is to say a place for reasonable people to hash out the issues of the day and walk away enriched, even if they still don't necessarily agree. You can join the conversation at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org and by text at 813-433-0885. Be sure to find Executive Session on Facebook. If you like and follow the page, you can see all the links to the material we'll be discussing in any given day, and also you can join the conversation there. We are catching up. We buckled up on Thursday, and since then, one of the things that you can do that's very interesting is there is an article, fact check article, on the WMNF website. That's WMNF.org. Very, very interesting read from the Associated Press. It is going to be an interesting week. And here's a recap of last week from the weekly list published by Amy Siskind. This week concerns about Trump's foreign policy were front and center as the regime rolled back sanctions against a Russian oligarch and withdrew from the Cold War era intermediate range nuclear forces treaty, both seen as victories for Vladimir Putin. The Financial Times reported on a previously undisclosed one-on-one meeting between Trump and Putin at the G20 just months after Helsinki. Congress rebuked Trump's foreign policy again this week in a piece of legislation drafted by Majority Leader Mitch McConnell over Trump's withdrawal of troops from Syria and Afghanistan. Heads of U.S. intelligence agencies testified before the Senate on their annual worldwide threat assessment. Now, by the way, the worldwide threat assessment, there is a link on the Executive Session Facebook page from one of the Executive Session Facebook pages last week to the 42-page released worldwide threat assessment, the findings of the American intelligence community as delivered to the Senate last week. And they revealed findings in sharp contrast from Trump on Iran, ISIS, and North Korea, as well as the southern border. Trump reacted by castigating his appointed agency heads, then later inviting them to the Oval Office and blaming the media instead. Now, these hearings were televised live. These men and women from the intelligence agencies, the heads of the CIA and other intelligence agencies, testified live in front of the Senate, and it was televised. And the president then tried to say that the differences between his statements and theirs were sort of some kind of fabrication by the media. So the president also seems to be building drama around his wall right now, tweeting, and this is a quote, "With caravans marching through Mexico and toward our country, Republicans must be prepared to do whatever is necessary for strong," in all caps, "border security," capitalized. "Dems do nothing. If there is no wall, there is no security. Human trafficking, drugs, and criminals of all dimensions," and in caps, "keep out." Yesterday, he said, on the 15th, we have now set the table beautifully because everybody knows what's going on because of the shutdown. So what's the table set for? Tomorrow he'll deliver the State of the Union address. Will you be watching? What do you expect to hear? Interesting. Let's talk.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made. Those were the days.
And you knew when you were there.
Dance for girls and men, woman. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again.
And we are in session for a Monday afternoon here. This is Executive Session on WMNF 88.5 FM and WMNF.org, your community conscious radio station and the last local radio in Tampa. Talking about, we're going to try and catch up from Thursday. You know, it's kind of like taking a drink out of a fire hose doing this. When we come back on Monday and try to get a handle on what's been happening since we buckled ourselves in on Thursday afternoon. One of the things that's been going on is that the president has again walked away from a treaty, and this particular treaty was about keeping nuclear weapons out of Europe and keeping nuclear weapons, keeping the Russians from developing nuclear weapons that were specifically designed not to reach us, but to reach Europe. And during the Reagan administration, they signed, he and Mr. Gorbachev signed this. It has been in effect ever since. Now, the president says that the Russians have been cheating. Other people say that the Russians have not been in good compliance with this. So what do you do when you are in an agreement with somebody? When you're in agreement with somebody, they have agreed with you, you have mutually agreed to certain things, and you find that they are not doing what it is that they said they'd do. Do you just fold up your paper and walk away? Or do you turn around and get down with them and start to press for compliance? What do you do? 813-239-9663. The president says there are numerous caravans, this word that we have been hearing so much of since before the midterms, headed toward our southern border again. Do you consider refugees trying to find safety and freedom in America to be an existential threat to the United States? We're going to go and we are going to talk to Josh in Newport Richey. Good afternoon. Is it? Oh, that's John.
Yeah, see, hey, John.
See what happens when your glasses don't work right?
I'm going to answer your questions, and I had a thought today. About the State of the Union, no, I will not be watching it. What do I expect to hear? A bunch of superlatives and blame the Democrats for anything that's wrong.
Uh-huh.
But I was listening to USF this morning, and they were talking to a Trump supporter who was saying about how they were upset because these people on the MAGA hats were being negatively portrayed in the press, and how they're assumed to be misogynistic, homophobic, and racist because you're wearing a MAGA hat.
Uh-huh.
And after about a couple seconds or so, I just busted out laughing because I was kind of thinking, I wonder how many Trump supporters were really upset about the stereotyping of black men in hoodies. I would say about 0%.
I see where you're going. Yeah. It's interesting because we keep seeing these videos of people confronting folks who either didn't speak English in public or, I don't know, look some way, and they're wearing those red hats.
Yeah.
And
they're probably paid by George Soros.
Yeah. Well, see, now that's the thing. See, now you have pulled the lid off the whole thing, John, because George Soros is actually buying those hats and handing them out to people.
Handing them out to those illegal aliens or immigrants that he's bringing up across the border.
Yeah. I actually had, was it Lori Hendry? Sometime during the weekend tried to blame this whole thing on George Soros, which I thought was hilarious. It points to the ease, how wonderful it is to have a one-size-fits-all boogeyman.
Yeah.
Because, anything that goes wrong, you know whose fault it is.
Right. Not me, it's them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was just an interesting observation that made me really laugh this morning. I just wanted to share that with you and the listeners.
Okay. Right. Well, listen, thanks for kicking us off on a Monday afternoon. And, like I say, with any luck, we'll talk again. 813-239-9663 will get you into this conversation. I'll get you in contact with Mr. Frank Knox, who will want to talk to you about your name. Might not want to talk to you about your name. He's going to want to know your first name and where you're calling from, and maybe a word or two about what you are going to say. And we're catching up. It's Catch Up Monday. Is that too clever by half? Is it Catch Up Monday? Anyway, we're trying to get back in the saddle from being all nice and buckled up on Thursday and the incredible plethora of events that normally takes place over a weekend in this administration, and looking for your thoughts about the upcoming State of the Union address. What do you think you're going to hear tomorrow night? 813-239-9663. William in Tampa, good afternoon. You are in executive session this afternoon, and you have the floor on WMNF.
Good afternoon, John. I hope that you're doing well.
I am doing better than I have any right to expect.
Okay. I'm calling about the subject that you touched on initially regarding the intelligence professionals.
Yeah.
The information that they made known in the hearing,
mm-hmm.
and then the president making statements that contradict what they said.
Mm-hmm.
I think what has to be considered is this. You have the rantings of an egotistical narcissist on one hand, and then you have the information presented by intelligence officials.
Yeah.
Now, one of the reasons that the current president in the Oval Office may want to pull the troops out of Afghanistan is this. The Russians stand to make even more billions of dollars if they run a pipeline from the Caucasus area down through Afghanistan to reach ports in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Gulf of Mexico?
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, that's a hell of a pipeline right there, my friend.
Right. I apologize for thinking about our waters.
Yeah, I got it.
Into the Indian Ocean. And since Donald John Trump seems to be in debt to the Russians one way or the other, or he wants to make it more possible for a Trump Tower to be constructed in Moscow, one way or another, it's all about money.
Hmm.
and how he can make even more money. And I'm a military man, former military man, had the privilege of taking part in a workshop with a former CIA director. There's always information put out by a government, no matter what type it is, that's for public consumption.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the real deal that's going on that in most cases won't be made public.
As they used to say, the rest of the story.
Right. And now you know the rest of the story.
Yeah, exactly.
So on one hand, we have a diversionary tactic going on. The others from Central America, from Mexico,
mm-hmm.
and all the drugs that are coming into the country. Well, it's been shown by Customs Border Patrol that the majority of drugs coming into this country are coming in either through airports or seaports or at the border crossing.
Yeah, they come through ports of entry.
Come through ports of entry.
Like that, what was it, 250-some pounds of fentanyl they busted last week that was somehow buried in a load of cucumbers coming across?
Exactly, had a false floor.
Yeah.
And the drugs were underneath the floor.
Yeah.
And because of the X-ray, well, in effect, an X-ray of the trailer or the semi, they were able to notice that something isn't right here, so they went over and found out what was there. So why isn't there a greater emphasis on increasing the resources at the ports of entry to hopefully detect the large amounts of illegal chemical substances that are coming into the country?
Yeah, you can't get on an airplane carrying something that hasn't been put through an X-ray machine.
Right.
Okay. So, and I've seen those X-ray machines that they use, and they fit over of a semi trailer.
Right.
So they can actually X-ray the whole truck.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what it would take to do that. I mean, I would imagine that the volume of trucking across the Mexico-United States border is pretty significant.
It is.
And I don't know what it would take to X-ray every truck, but if that's your concern, then you do what it takes to see to it that you get to X-ray every truck.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You know.
And going back to the threats presented to this country and ports of entry, now, it would be easier to try and smuggle in a weapon of mass destruction by coming into ports that are not the hot topic in the current news cycle.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if someone wanted to come in through Seattle or Brunswick, Maine,
mm-hmm.
or some other little-used port that doesn't have the resources that, say, Miami, Tampa, San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco might have, it would be easier to get it done that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, but again, going back to my initial concerns about the intelligence professionals, for the most part, being straight up about their findings. I mean, our country has the greatest intelligence gathering apparatus, sources. Than any other country, whether it's signal intelligence or whether it's human intelligence or whether it's photographic intelligence, the comments made were garnered from those different resources.
Right.
And now for 45 to say that the news media are trying to create disruptions between what he has said and what the intelligence officials said, it's just another example of the big lie coming out of Donald John Trump.
So all right.
Anyone out there who disagrees with me, I hope that they have a chance to talk with you today and present their particular views and opinions. But wake up, folks.
That's it. You have issued the executive session invitation, William. That's exactly how we do it around here. Thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome.
Sure enough. We'll talk again. 813-239-9663. A voice of some experience and some observation there on intelligence and on the border. What do you think? The heads of the intelligence agencies went before the Senate and they testified, and the information that they delivered, the paper that they delivered, the worldwide threat assessment that they delivered, is based on the work of literally thousands of career professional intelligence people. Some are analysts, some are operatives, some are agents, and that's where this information comes from, and that information is distilled into this particular 42-page outline of the intelligence community's assessment of worldwide threats. And the president disagreed, and this is not the first time he has disagreed. Now, if you're a guy or a woman, if you're somebody working out there and your life is on the line on a regular basis for gathering intelligence, and your intelligence is fed to your handlers, and your intelligence is fed to your agency, and your intelligence helps to shape the assessment that is delivered before the Senate, and the President of the United States goes, "That's just bunk. You know, they don't know what they're talking about. I know more about it than they do." What do you think about your life? I mean, you're out there literally with your life on the line on a daily basis to provide this information, and the President of the United States just disregards it, and instead, in fact, takes the word of Vladimir Putin. 813-239-9663. Danny in Tampa, good afternoon. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Good afternoon, John. Saying that they were misquoted.
Yes. They were misquoted on television.
On television, which we all, it was on there for everybody to see.
Right.
The words were spoken, but yet, no, it was misquoted.
Yeah.
They were misquoted. Unbelievable. And then Chris Christie, who's making the tour everywhere.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, well, this morning on CNN, he sits there and says, "Boy, you better believe that Trump is pissed today about the leak, about the Axios report, the convenience, all that time he's got, the free time he's got watching Fox, I'm sure, and CNN, and hanging out eating all the hamburgers and sandwiches." I'll tell you what, that's tough tomatoes, okay?
Yeah, so I want to make the distinction here between executive time.
Mm-hmm.
And the executive session.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Because executive time is a whole other thing.
A whole other thing. And then of course, he says that the governor of Virginia, which was awful, what was posted on that page, he says he should resign along with other Democrats. But yet, not one word about King.
Yeah.
Yeah, for like 10, 15 years. That's his buddy who he has praised before. And yesterday on Margaret Brennan's show, with the interview with Margaret Brennan again on Face the Nation, she says, "Well, what about impeachment? You think they'll impeach you?" He says, "Well, it'll be artificial." He says, "It'll be artificial impeachment because, after all, I've done the greatest job of any president in the history of the world. In the history of the United States in the first 2 years."
Danny, I cannot wait to see what artificial impeachment is.
I don't know. It's like Covfefe.
That is a whole new domain of consideration, I'm sure.
It won't be natural. It'll be artificial.
Artificial impeachment.
Let me say, when he says he's the greatest president, done the greatest job in the first 2 years ever, remember, they used to say, if you don't get help at Charter, get help somewhere.
All right, Danny, listen, it's good to talk to you, and we'll talk again.
Good job. Same here. Thank
you. Sure enough. 813-239-9663 will get you in contact with Mr. Frank Knox. And Mr. Frank Knox, we'll get you ready to step on in here and have your say on a Monday afternoon as we play catch-up here on, I guess we might start talking about Stormy Monday here. Support for WMNF comes from our members in Happy Feet Plus. Since 1985, Happy Feet Plus has been providing healthy footwear solutions, including brands such as Birkenstock, Finn Comfort, and Kenco Massage Sandals. Styles and selections at happyfeet.com.
We got black coaches falling away by the wayside. I'm getting sick and tired of that nonsense.
Join Sunday Forum and our esteemed panelists, ESPN commentator Tiffany Green, sports management professor Dr. Janelle Wells, coach Javon Liu, and more on February 9th, 1 to 3 p.m. as we discuss racism in sports. Meet us at the American Legion, 3810 West Kennedy Boulevard, Tampa, to support our winter fun drive and have a chance to win a football signed by Tampa Bay Buccaneer players. The event is free, but online donations are encouraged.
All right. Support for WMNF comes from our members and the Florida Law Group, protecting the rights of the wrongfully injured since 1984. The Florida Law Group is dedicated to creating strong and lasting connections with their clients and our community. More at thefloridalawgroup.com. And back to the conversation as we catch up since we buckled up on Thursday last and the events that have transpired over the weekend, among which is the fact that apparently the president is somewhat less than pleased about being reported that some 60% of the time he is in the White House is spent in what is called executive time. Okay. It apparently has to do with his unique brand of information gathering, and with conversations, telephone conversations. Now, there is a lady who works in the White House whose name I had never heard of until Frank showed me this this afternoon, who said that this doesn't account for, and I think Frank said, the hundreds of meetings and phone calls he takes every day. Now, you have got to imagine the president and the hundreds of meetings and phone calls. Hundreds of meetings and phone calls. 813-239-9663. And we go and talk to Mike in Tampa. Mike in Tampa, good afternoon. You're in executive session this afternoon on WMNF.
Yeah, I want to talk about that governor of Baginga. I think he should resign. I don't care whether or not it was him in the photograph that was put on his news yearbook on his page.
Now, let me ask you a question, Mike.
Yeah.
Do we know how that page was composed?
No.
Do we know whether he selected that photograph?
No, but he had a responsibility to do something about it then, and he apparently didn't.
Do we know? Do we know that he? I don't know. I mean, I know that when I had my high school yearbook, I looked all through it and I saw all the pictures and all that other kind of stuff. And I would imagine if I had been through medical school and I had a page in the medical school's yearbook that was my page, I'd probably go look at it.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that.
Is that, and also there's the other incident where he did dress up in blackface.
Yeah.
So, I definitely think he should resign and let somebody else pick up the torch.
Yeah. All right. Well, he has got a lieutenant governor there in Virginia that is apparently a rising star through the Democratic Party.
Yeah, he would be much qualified to take over.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. I am not clear that we know the totality of the facts around that. I think that it's hard for me to imagine that he never saw that picture.
Yeah, it is for me, too.
Now, it is possible that the yearbook staff, knowing his nickname... picked that, you know, that he didn't pick that picture. But I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
See? So, and boy, I'll tell you what. When you hold people's 1984 behavior up against 2019 standards, there's a lot that you're likely to come up with that's problematic.
He had a responsibility to complain or file all sorts
of
stuff then, and he didn't, and ever since then, he has not revealed or denounced that kind of behavior.
Yeah, so. I don't. He points to his record, which is substantial, by the way. He has a substantially progressive and effective record as a politician. So I don't know. I think that the people of Virginia have got to work that out with their governor. He can only be there, if I understood, this was just in passing, so I didn't study this. And it seems to me that there is a one-term limit.
Yeah, there is.
Okay, so no matter what, he's not going to be there for more than one term.
Yeah, but he's got 4 years to go.
Yeah. So I think that is fundamentally between the people of Virginia and the governor that they just elected a year ago.
Well, he doesn't resign. He should be impeached.
Well, see, there you go. Here's the thing you got to figure out. Impeachment isn't something you can do because you don't like something somebody did 30 years ago unless it was murder. You see what I'm saying? He has to have done something, and I think he would probably have to have done something in office or in obtaining the office that was... And in our Constitution, I don't know what Virginia's Constitution's like, but in our Constitution, bribery and treason and high crimes and misdemeanors, whatever in the world it is that you define those as. So I don't know that having a picture, a distasteful and easily racist picture on your 30-some-year-old yearbook page is necessarily an impeachable offense. And again, as far as I can tell, this is between the people who elected him and him.
Well, not revealing it, not doing anything about it, I think, yes. And also, I'd like to mention about Donald Trump. Are you there?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I'm here all the time, man.
Okay. I'd like to mention about Donald Trump. He's talked about in an inner voice that he's provoking a war with Venezuela. And I don't care how you feel about Maduro. We don't need to be in another war.
Boy, that's a fact.
Thousands of people.
That's a fact. I don't know what, I don't know if this is, well, first off, let me back up a little bit. The United States has a terrible record of meddling. And not just meddling, of actually utilization of force in the domain of sovereign nations of the Central and South American vintage.
Yeah, and, thousands of people die. Hundreds of thousands of people die when we do these.
So, Venezuela just happens to have what I actually think may be the largest remaining reserves of oil on the planet.
Yeah.
So I think it's just I have to wonder about the possible coincidental nature of that fact. Alongside the fact that this administration seems to be absolutely committed to extract and burn energy production.
Yeah. I think that's the motivation for it, and I'm more concerned about that right now. I'm concerned about war with Iran. I'm more concerned about the Venezuela situation right now. I think it's more pressing.
I think Alvaro and I were talking as he was getting ready to close up the midpoint that Mr. Bolton had his little note about 5,000 troops in Colombia. Mm-hmm. Well, we haven't heard anything about the Colombian government.
Yeah,
you know, so again, I wonder if the Colombian government went what.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mike, listen, thanks a lot. We're going to go and we're going to go. We got a lot of ground to cover this afternoon. Thank you very much for weighing in, and we'll talk again.
Okay.
Sure enough. All right, 813-239-9663 here in executive session on WMNF, 88.5 FM in Tampa. We are going to kick off our winter fun drive on Wednesday morning, and that's how you have for the 40 years previous to one of these very days, kept your radio station alive and bringing you material that you want to hear. So we're going to start, officially and continuously requesting that you send us money starting about 6 o'clock on Wednesday morning. And, The drives are great fun. It's an opportunity for more and more of you to speak to more and more of us, and for us to gauge support for programs and even whole blocks of programs. So by the time this week is over, we are going to be fully engaged in raising money to keep your radio station on the air. In the meantime, we're going to go and talk to somebody who may have a word or two to say about that last conversation. Daryl, good afternoon. You're in executive session. You got the floor. just
welcome
a word?
Welcome on Monday. Well, I just briefly will say this. Even though this is an executive session, and he brought up Virginia.
Yeah.
Just say this, please. And for those who have a differing opinion, who would be on the other side, who think it's much to do about nothing. Well, let me just say this, and if you happen to be white, okay? If you want to take black Kiwi shoe polish or whatever kind of polish and want to do a black face and put that on your face, get with 12 of your other friends, and y'all can go sit on a stage, and one will have what they call a hand drum, which is a tambourine.
Uh-huh.
And another one will have like a big bass drum. That's called a minstrel show. And if one wants to have the all by himself, that's called mimicking Al Jolson, you know, Mammy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you ever, listen, let me ask you a question. I don't know now. We used to see clips of this stuff when I was a kid, and I don't know if much of that stuff is around anymore. But you have actually seen minstrel shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's charming.
But see, when I grew up, I came at a time, and my brain didn't really click on until 1971. So I came at the end of you say, like, segregation, where for the most part I thought, America's always been this way.
Mm.
And my parents would say, no.
No, not exactly.
No, it's not.
Not exactly.
I had to be educated.
Yeah.
Well, some people, you have to understand, a lot of that stuff was offensive, where you may have not really thought about people like Hattie McDaniels and what's his name, and Gone with the Wind. I don't know nothing about birthing no babies and stuff. Well, I don't have a lot of time. You know, I only have so many seconds. That's what I just want to say about that. That's not mimicking Michael Jackson.
Uh-huh.
If you want to mimic Michael Jackson, you need to get the hat, get the coat, get the high kind of pants where you can show your socks.
Look like your pants are headed for your shoulders.
Right. And then learn how to moonwalk.
Yeah.
And then get your face chemically burned and get a cosmetic surgery done on your nose.
Well, see, that's what I was going to say. Michael showed a tremendous amount of commitment with regard to his appearance.
Right. Right. And have a relationship with a very famous star like he did with, what's her name, Elizabeth Taylor. God bless the soul, she's gone on. Now, off from that.
Meanwhile.
You mentioned something. Yeah, meanwhile, the State of the Union. Let me just say this. You all know how I feel about him, and I'm not going to be hypocritical about it. I don't like Donald Trump because I knew how he was in his private life, and I have not jumped off of that stance, but I did kind of make something, a promise at the beginning of this brand new year. I don't believe in resolutions, But I said this. I'm going to stop the name calling and all this kind of stuff. I will say this. I think it's going to be more hyperbole. It's going to be lies and whatever. He's going to show how impetuous he really is. And I will just say this. I wish I would have come up with this statement, but unfortunately, I cannot make claim to this. But someone did say that. When you vote for a clown, expect the circus.
Yeah.
And that's what we've gotten for the last 2 years.
Well, I tell you what. Now, one of the networks has been saying that they are going to fact check the president's State of the Union address in real time. Okay. Now, I don't know what size computer they've got or how many people.
Well, John, I will say this as I leave your show, and I think you said that they cannot do this, but I think you can do this. They need to have a split screen, and you need to have a split screen where you're showing him in Congress making the State of the Union address. Meanwhile, you have various camera locations on our southern border to show all these hordes of, you know, people coming over. And by the way, I believe in integration. I don't believe that I can just run into Guatemala or run into Jamaica and say, I want to be in Jamaica. And people are not going to ask me, well, why are you here? Or how long are you going to be here? And what is your purpose for being here?
Those are called credible fear hearings.
Right. A legitimate reason why I'm in their country.
Yeah.
And why aren't you questioning Mexico? You just let a bunch of people just come across your southern border just because they tell you we're heading towards the United States. Come on in.
It's interesting that I don't think I've heard very many people talk about the fact that that Mexico does seem a willing conduit.
Yes, they do.
You know, and I don't know if they have international agreements, treaties, international law down across Central America that allows for that kind of flow from people who are seeking asylum. I don't know.
I have, as I let you go, I have a heart of compassion, and we know what's going on in Central and South America. Okay. And there are a lot of gray areas, and not, everything is not black and white. But with this person that's in the white, you're not getting the truth. I'm sorry. You're not getting the truth. And a lot of us, we're going to suffer from years to come because of this gentleman's decision. We live in a I don't take the world how I want it. I take the world as it is. And there are a lot of bad players in the world, and we have done a lot of things that we can't be very proud of. But, John, have a good day.
Okay, Gerald. We'll talk again. Thanks for calling. 813-239-9663. It's All Things Ukulele at Ukapalooza, Florida, at the Florida State Fair on Saturday, February 9th. A uke petting zone. Beginner workshops, a jammer's jam, an Hawaiian show with hula dancers, a performer's showcase, and uke master James Hill. It's all going in the special events center at the fair from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. More at the FloridaStateFair.com.
WMNF's winter membership drive begins at 6 a.m. on Wednesday, February 6th, and ends on February 13th. We're now seeking restaurants, caterers, and chefs to feed our volunteers taking your pledges. Do you own or work for a food establishment? We have many ways to thank you. Find out about donating drinks, snacks, or a meal by contacting Miss Julie at 813-238-8001 or emailing MISSJULIE@WMNF.org.
Selling an unwanted vehicle can be a hassle, but donating it to WMNF is easy. Simply provide a clean title and we'll take care of the pickup and donation receipt. To get started, call 888-966-3885 or go to WMNF.org. As we race down the backstretch on Catch Up Monday here, we are discussing the various and numerous events that have taken place since we all got nicely securely buckled up on Thursday. I want to invite you to stay here after the session because Bob Dylan, did you see the Super Bowl? Advertising beer during the Super Bowl. Bob Dylan advertising beer during the Super Bowl. And I guess everybody must get stoned. Find out today more commercials he could sell his music to. And the Kennedys, by the way, will be performing live music from their new book. Yes, book. And you can get tickets to see Al Dimeola. It's all on It's the Music Today between 2 and 4 or anytime online at WMNF.org. And stay around after It's the Music because the traffic jam is going to take you home right now. We're going to take you back to the phones and talk to James in Holmes Beach. Good afternoon, James in Holmes Beach. You're in executive session this afternoon and you have the floor.
Thank you, John. The major difference President Trump had with our national intelligence assessment was on the subject of Iran. Our intelligence experts said that Iran is not pursuing a nuclear weapon,
mm-hmm.
and they also said that Iran is still complying with the nuclear deal with,
yep.
with the support of China, Russia, and the EU. They're still submitting to inspections. There's still 24-hour camera surveillance of their nuclear sites.
Mm-hmm.
They're still complying with all aspects
and
of the deal.
And the CIA chief said that they are taking steps that would allow them to step back. They're looking
at all their options, but at this point,
yeah.
they're still in the deal, and they're not pursuing a nuclear weapon, which was in the first paragraph of the deal they signed, that we signed.
Yeah.
They said, we will never pursue, never.
Yeah.
No time limit. We will never pursue a nuclear weapon. So with the upcoming and perhaps a second summit with the leader of North Korea,
mm-hmm.
We could only hope to get a deal that good with that kind of verification.
No kidding.
Not going to happen.
Well, see, that was another one of his major issues is that Mr. Coates just sat there and read into the public record that their opinion is that the North Koreans are not ever going to relinquish their nuclear weapons.
So there it is. But I still favor diplomacy. I think we got to still pursue diplomacy in that case as well. But you know, the deal we pulled out of with Iran is 10 times better than anything we'll get with them. But you know, diplomacy in both cases. And also, I didn't hear anything in the national intelligence assessment about a national security threat from Venezuela.
Yeah,
and that. Trump's talking about sending troops in. Well, I hope Congress debates this before it happens, because last time I checked, only Congress has the power to declare war.
Yeah, they're still exploring the borders of the authorization for the use of military force, because Congress stepped significantly away from their oversight power in that domain. And the president, since 9/11 for sure, but, you know, has had significant ability to use the military without basically needing the Congress to say, okay.
Well, that's not constitutionally correct.
And, well, that's why we have courts.
Before we go into Venezuela, let's step back and as an American people say, no, you can't do this. You can't do this. This is war and peace. We're talking war and peace here, you know?
Yep. Well, see that, the president railed against these unnecessary wars. And our entanglement in Afghanistan and
Iraq,
and now they're making noises like they want to engage in another what did they call them?
Regime change.
Well, yeah, that's basically what they're engaged in. Is they are saying that's you must leave.
Yeah. Regime change.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out too well in Iraq, and I don't think it would work out too well in Venezuela.
Well, one of the interesting things this week was that they said that they were going to stay in Iraq. We're going to stay in Iraq so that we can keep an eye on Iran.
Right.
And the Iraqis went, huh? Y'all think we might have a word or two to say about whether or not y'all's army stays in our country?
Yeah, I think they might have something to say about that. So, man, we got to keep an eye on this guy because
that's why we're here.
Investigation gets closer to him. He's going to look for the major distraction, which could be a war.
Yeah, you know? I think that that's a very, very real. A very, very real concern is that wartime presidents. The whole wartime presidency thing is very powerful, and
he said he liked war at one point on the campaign trail.
Yeah, well, he's never been in one.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and I know people who have. I haven't either, but I know people who have, and I can tell you that just from the conversations I've had, I know I don't want to have anything to do with it.
Well, I'm from the Vietnam generation.
See.
That war was a huge mistake, and it affected me for life. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing worse than an unnecessary war, and we got to avoid it at all costs.
Yep. All right. Listen, James, thank you very much. We are headed toward the finish line here. We'll talk again.
Thank you.
Sure enough. Want to thank some WMNF supporters here. We are getting donations online, and we're from Arlene Isaacson. Thank you very much for your very generous donation. And from Ethan and Trudy Bixby, thank you very much for your very, very generous donation. We are going to be swinging into the full flower of our fun drive here starting at 6 o'clock. This is how you keep your radio station on the air. Richard and Bill, it looks like we are not going to get to talk with you this afternoon. I don't want to try and pick up your phone calls when we've got about 35 seconds left before we go into the last minute of the session. I want to remind you again to stay around for It's the Music. Flea is branching off of Bob Dylan using, I believe it was Blowing in the Wind to Sell Beer. Thank you very much. Is going to find out more commercials that Bob Dylan could use. He could sell his music to sell different products. And also, the Kennedys will be performing live music. Now, you know how much I love it that our radio station brings you live music in the middle of the afternoon. Just go find that anywhere. And you're going to be able to get some tickets to see Al DiMeola. It is all on It's the Music today between 2 and 4 or anytime online at WMNF.org. And strongly invite you to stay around afterwards for the traffic jam, because you got to navigate one to get home if you're out there. So we're going to get you through it. We're going to get you home safely, and executive session will be back tomorrow after the NPR news at 1. And in the meantime, we will be waiting for you.
It has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
This is WMNF Tampa.